You're just seconds away from an After Hours exclusive, the AutoLine After Hours Automotive Draft, coming right up.
AutoLine After Hours is brought to you by Bridgestone, passion for excellence. Chevrolet, the all-new Chevrolet Cruze. Get used to more. And by Hyundai. Experience the 2011 Hyundai Sonata today at HyundaiSonata.com.
Welcome to the first annual AutoLine After Hours Automotive Draft with team owners John McElroy from AutoLine and Dymaxion Motors, Peter DiLorenzo, the ever-lovable auto extremist representing, what else, Renzo Motors. Jim Hall of 2953 Analytics is our third owner, hailing from Automobiles Bistango SA, while Ed Lapham from Automotive News represents the Duard Auto Group. Meanwhile, over in what we're calling the War Room is our top-notch team of draft analysts, Mark Phelan from the Detroit Free Press and Scott Burgess of the Detroit News. And I'm your AutoLine After Hours announcer, Frank Marcus from Motor Trend. Now, before I toss it to our analysts for a draft preview, a quick reminder to all our contest participants. And at this point, if you're asking, what contest, I'm sorry to tell you it's too late to enter. But for those of you who went to our Facebook page or Twitter and gave us your five top draft picks hoping to match one of our owners, then it's time to watch closely and take notes. Because before you can collect any of these great prize packages from our friends at Chevy and Hyundai, you have to tell us how many picks you matched to which owner through Facebook or Twitter. For info on the rules, just visit bit.ly/AutoLineContest. Now, let's hear from two guys who aren't eligible for the contest. Joining us for the first time this evening in the War Room for a look at our teams, the owners, and what we may expect this evening are Mark and Scott. Guys?
Thanks, Frank. I'm Mark Phelan with the Detroit Free Press. This is my lovely assistant, Scott Burgess, of the Detroit News. And behind me, we have the whiteboard, where we'll be tracking the progress of the four companies throughout the night. We'll be writing down every draft pick, and the order the companies are drafting in was determined a few weeks ago here on AutoLine. Peter Marks of Bosch North America pulled the names out of a hat. They will be voting in the order you see here in the first round. They reverse in the second round, as frequently happens in NFL fantasy drafts, and then they reverse again. What are you looking for tonight, Scott?
Well, first I was looking for a waitress, because a lot of the drafts that I've been involved with have been at bars. But since we don't have that, I'm looking to see what kind of executives each of the these analysts are looking for. When you're building a company, what's most important? Is it the design of the product? Is it a charismatic leader as the head of your thing? I'm also wondering how long it'll be before one of these people pick themselves. And there's always a chance that John may pick Jim, just to throw things off a little bit.
Well, and you know the old saying, a lawyer who defends himself has a fool for a client. We're going to be watching throughout the evening to see who gets picked by all the companies. Back to you, Frank.
Just before we dive into everything, let me run down the few rules we have here. The biggest one is who is draft eligible. And the answer to that is any current living global auto executive may be drafted. So just to be clear, you can't pick anyone deceased or retired, not even Bob Lutz. We're keeping this in the here and now. Oh, and by the way, after he makes his pick, each owner will have up to 1 minute to tell us some background on why he chose that particular exec. Okay, that does it. Let's head to the studio for the first choice in the 2011 AutoLine After Hours draft. And that choice is being made by John McElroy, Supreme Commander of Dymaxion Motors. John?
And for all those who don't know, Dymaxion Motors is named after a car that Buckminster Fuller came out with in the 1930s.
Design philosophy.
Design philosophy. I still believe the rest of the industry has not caught up to this design that he came out with in the 1930s. And it's sort of this teardrop shape, and that leads me to my first choice. I believe automotive design is the most important thing for any car company. So I'm starting out with a designer. There's a whole bunch of good people out there. I wasn't sure exactly who to go with, but I decided to go with the master, the guy who was named as the automotive designer of the 20th century. And that, of course, is Giorgetto Giugiaro. And It's very appropriate for me to get them because if you look at the Dymaxion car, it's a teardrop shape. It's really a one-box design. And when I got a chance to meet Giugiaro a number of years ago, I said, I was fawning over him. I said, oh, Giorgetto, you know, you were so prescient. You were so visionary. 20 years ago, you predicted that the industry would more and more and more go to one-box designs. And he said, no, you're wrong. I said that 30 years ago. So, well, he's my man. He's my first pick, Giugiaro, because design counts more than anything else in this business.
Good choice. The guy's done everything from cameras to pasta. He actually designed a pasta, the extruding machine, so it's a certain shape of pasta that actually mimics window weather stripping. It's very strange.
With the second choice in our 2011 Autoline After Hours draft, here is Peter DiLorenzo, Il Commendatore of Renzo Motors.
Yes, a few details about Renzo Motors. I'm running it. There will be no other person running the show, so you don't have to worry about me picking a CEO because I'm it. The headquarters of Renzo Motors is in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin. We are going to introduce our first car. I'm not as far advanced as Jim is, but the next Paris Auto Show, which is in 2013, I believe.
2011.
No. 2012.
2012. Yes, 2012.
Yeah. Paris is even years.
That's right. So I share John's, to me, the ultimate initial product differentiator in this business is design. And as we go forward, it's going to be even more important. And I know a lot of great designers, and there are a lot of great designers out there, and I don't mean to slight anyone, but my first choice is Mr. Freeman Thomas. The visionary guy who plays on the edges when he does concepts, and I think I've spent a lot of time with Freeman, and I would trust him with the first Renzo, which is also the first model is going to be called the Bandini. So that's my pick.
With the third choice in the 2011 Autoline After Hours Automotive Draft, the sensei of Duard Motor Group, Edward Lapham.
For its first pick in the 2011 draft, the DeWard Auto Group selects John Krafcik, CEO of Hyundai Motor America. We believe that Mr. Krafcik has the right demeanor and sense of leadership for our boardroom and also to guide those on the shop floor. We believe that our company's slogan, which is sustainable transportation for every man, will be the way that the industry must go in the future, and that Mr. Krafcik has proven that he understands it and can lead our company.
And with the final choice in the first round of the Autoline After Hours Automotive Draft is the major domo for life of Automobiles Bestango S.A., Mr. Jim Hall.
I'm going to hold design off, but the first one, see, I would like to be the chairman of my own business and let the CEO handle that business stuff, and I could do chairman-like things, like scream at the guys at Wall Street. And for that, I want somebody who understands multiple brands and also understands the importance of design and engineering together, Martin Winterkorn, head of the Volkswagen Group. Under Winterkorn, Volkswagen has done a great job of managing some very disparate and very similar brands, but keeping them different.
Nine brands.
And you know what? That's magic. That's the kind of guy I really would like to have in the CEO's job. I really would. So I'm being serious here. This is horrible. It's uncomfortable, too. It's like itching.
Okay, let's go to the war room for some reaction to round one.
Wow. What a first round. It really kind of caught us off guard that three out of the four were not in any of our top picks, but it's not surprising, and it really shows you the direction that each of these guys want to go.
Well, and we've got two designers coming off the board early, which does show that design is becoming ever more important as brands look to differentiate themselves, to establish identities. There's plenty of good designers left, though, and it's very interesting to see that John Krafcik, who is one of the people who has proven he can take a brand that was nothing, as Hyundai was, in terms of engineering, design, image, and really elevate it. It's very interesting to see that he was DeWard's first pick. And Winterkorn, I think the jury is still out as to whether he's really managed all those brands that well myself. I mean, there seems to be some overlap, and Seat has never been a particularly strong brand. I'm not completely sold on Winterkorn as a first-round pick.
Well, and one of the things that you might have to be concerned with the designers is great design costs a lot of money. And is it always a realistic design? You may have the most fantastic looking vehicle in the world, but if it costs $1 million, how many are you going to really sell? Do you need somebody like Winterkorn who can turn around and manage all of those different things? Then again, you can have somebody like Kraftcheck, who's very charismatic and really knows how to handle a lot of different things at the same time. And you have to remember, he's only the CEO of North America, not of all of Hyundai. And so he also has to manage up.
Yeah, running a big company would be the uncharted territory for Kraftcheck at this point. And it's going to be very interesting to see now. We've got a product emphasis on the parts of two of our companies. We've got management on the other. It's going to be interesting to see where they go from here. And now we're going to hear more from one of our sponsors, and we'll be back after that. Thank you.
With gas prices where they are these days, if you're after fuel efficiency, you need to check out the Hyundai Sonata. There's three different models to choose from. The 2.4-liter GDI, which delivers a segment-leading 35 miles per gallon. Then there's the 2-liter turbo, which offers 274 horsepower, yet delivers 33 miles per gallon. And the brand-new hybrid that provides a combined 37 miles per gallon. And you can learn a lot more about each one at HyundaiSonata.com.
After a somewhat controversial round one, let's see who's chosen in round number two. This time, we're starting out with Bistango Domo Jim Hall.
Oh, boy, which one to pick? Chief engineer for the company.
Uh-oh.
Responsible for all the product engineering. Jim Federico from General Motors. Jim basically took what was a mess with a non-global platform that was supposed to be global and made it global and made some darn good vehicles off those platforms. Now they've put them on the small car, and the first fruits of that are starting to appear, one of which you guys will probably drive later on that is very impressive because the chassis is dialed in, it's smooth, it's quiet, it's affordable, and it's fun to drive. So Federico, definitely, he's the chief engineer for the company, and I basically, with him, you'd have powertrain guys on him, but he's basically the guy I would want engineering my products right now.
Going with the theory that when you're in a draft, there are times when you want to also take the best available athlete or the best athlete available. For our second choice, Duard is going to pick Mary Barra, head of global product development for General Motors. Mary's an engineer. She's just stepped into that product development role. General Motors has moved her in from manufacturing, moved her into the HR responsibility where she's got a sense for the management and the restructuring of that company. And she's just the kind of teammate that we need at Duard.
Interesting. Two GM choices.
And since I'm going to be pounding around Road America most of the days instead of being in the office, I need someone who I can trust to run Renzo Motors. And my thoughts are with a gentleman who is highly talked about right now in the business, and that's Mr. Mark Fields, who's going to be the COO of Renzo Motors. And I trust Mark implicitly to make sure that even if I had too many margaritas, the cars will come together nicely.
Okay, I better grab them while I can get them because you guys are starting to make some pretty good picks here. So first comes design in my book. That's the most important thing that makes people want to buy the cars. But then you've got to develop the product. So I'm going with Derek Cusack. I think he's one of the best product development people in the business. He's got international experience. Dymaxion is going to dominate the world once this car comes out. And I need a guy like Derek Cusack to be able to bring in all kinds of ideas and know all the different regulations from around the world. He is going to develop the first Dymaxion car.
So you're comfortable with rear-wheel steering, then, instead of front-wheel steering?
Yes.
Whoa!
Yes. But I'm not going to do it like Bucky Fuller, which if you wanted to turn left,
you turned the wheel right.
Right, yeah, because he was crazy in that regard.
No, he's a sailor.
Yes, and that's how he got it, because with a tiller, you go opposite the way you want to steer.
Yeah. Pretty scary, though.
Off to our draft analysts for a look at round two.
All right, it's getting interesting now. We got some product people coming off the board. It's very interesting to see that Bistango and DeWard both voted for GM engineering talent. This is a real endorsement of how people think GM's recent products have been and what's expected of the next generation. And the choice of Mary Barra is quite interesting. A lot of people were surprised when she got the top product development job at GM a few months ago. But you know, this is clearly an indication that she's gaining some following outside the company as well. Well, what do you think, Scott?
Well, I love the Federico pick. I think that's a really smart pick, and you couldn't have a more energetic person to head your product development. I think it's very interesting that both Derek Kuzak and Mark Fields were picked before Alan Mulally. Maybe it's a little too general of a position as CEO, where a lot of these people think that they'll be the CEO and they want the right team underneath them. Derek Kuzak when he was the head of Ford Europe product, has been bringing over all of those vehicles to America. And that one Ford, one strategy is really, I think, the heart of that is Derek Kuzak and his leadership. So I think that he's a really good pick. Mark Fields is another one that you can't deny that when you're in charge of North America and North America is doing fantastic, you get to get some of the credit. And he's also worked at Mazda, and he's also, you know, so he has a very well-rounded thing, and I think that everybody would be really happy to have those people in those positions.
You're right about both the Ford choices are interesting, and in particular the fact that Mulally's still on the board, because if you think about it, you know, Peter DiLorenzo, he was looking for somebody to run the company while he'd be kind of an absentee manager sitting, you know, up on the top floor. That's very much what Bill Ford was doing when he picked Alan Mulally, but we've still got Alan waiting, and I think you're right. Derek Kuzak, you can't give him enough credit for what's gone on in the technology and the quality of Ford's products.
And I'm not sure exactly how flattered Peter would be when compared to Bill Ford in leadership role. One of the things that I think is interesting is that some of the big stars, Marchionne is still available, Ghosn is still available. These are not lightweights that are going to be going into third round.
Well, and we've got two companies that don't have a designer yet, and you know, another company that's still looking for the engineer to set the product direction. So, I mean, there's a lot more, you know, to see, and we've, you know, got, you know, six more rounds to go through.
Well, back to you, Frank.
This is getting interesting. Gentlemen, give us your round three picks.
Okay, where should I go next? I've got the design of the car done. I've got the product development guy. Now I think I've got to go to powertrain. And Dymaxion Motors is going to be known for being innovative and different. And we're going to start out with a new type of engine that's going to entail very low investment cost. And that brings me to the Eco Motors OPOC, opposed piston, opposed cylinder engine. So the head of powertrain for me is going to be Peter Hofbauer, who, as you guys know, used to be in Volkswagen engine development. He knows gas engines. He knows diesel engines. He knows engines. And not only that, but we had him on Autoline After Hours earlier, and we were all really impressed with what he did. So for powertrain, I'm going with Peter Hofbauer.
Okay. Being a leader of an esoteric car company, you know, has its rewards. You know, when I'm visiting my palazzo in the Isle of Capri, you know, I really need to have someone in the trenches that I can call on my cell phone, or they can text me at all hours of the night and say, you know, the factory is in fire or something. But and. But I need someone who is very familiar with the product, has a varied background, who could work closely with Mark Fields to make sure that I don't make a fool of myself at the Paris Auto Show. So I'm going to go with Mr. Mark Royce to be my product leader at R&M Motors and R&M Motors. So I'm very confident in my team so far.
And as Peter says, he's picking Mark Royce. The rest of us are scratching Mark Royce off our list because we all had him on there, too.
Well, yep. I had Derek Kuzak on my product development thing, so, you know.
Ed, I think you're next.
I think I'm going to go with a powertrain superstar as well. I'm going to pick Klaus Dreiger, who's the board member at BMW for R&D and was the moving force behind their efficient dynamics powertrain. He can go both ways, and I mean that in the very best way. He can do it with the traditional reciprocating piston engines as well as with the new power plants and the electrification where BMW is moving.
Good choice. Now we're to you, Mr. Major Domo.
No powertrain selection now because I'm concerned that I will lose the guy I really want to sort of run the car company part of the business, and that has to be Sergio, without a doubt. I mean, he understands all the parts of building a car, the importance of design, manufacturing, engineering, and the best part of it is he is wonderfully destabilizing to groups that are full of crust and stuff, and he can keep it from setting into an organization. And I want somebody in there that's always going to be agitating the organization, and he would be absolutely my first choice for sort of COO and president of the company.
Oh, I thought you were going to run the company.
You're chairman. Okay.
Sorry.
CEO's the exec. He takes care of the financial stuff.
Right.
This is the guy that runs the car company because it's got to be a car company. If you don't do cars, you know. So I would have to go with Sergio. I really think he's a great guy for getting people to understand a vision. It's not just setting a vision. It's also getting them to understand and why they're part of it. You know, tough to beat.
Yep, I had him on my list too.
Back to the war room for some perspective on round three.
Now, I'm sorry, Scott. Now it's getting to be fun. We got some engine guys coming off the board, and we've got a real strong endorsement of German engine technology. We've got Volkswagen and BMW, both leaders in powertrain, both traditional and the new ones that are coming up. Oh, and by the way, if you notice that we've got some names in green, one of the markers ran dry. That's all that means. But you know, what are your thoughts, Scott?
Well, it is getting very interesting, and obviously powertrains plays one of the most important roles when to get cars to move.
I'd like someone who does wheels, too, please.
And so the development, in selecting these people is very important. It was interesting that Peter wants to combine that synergy that he thinks he can create with both Mark Fields and Mark Royce, and that'll be the Mark synergy that he's building from there. And it's interesting to see that Ed was the first person to pick someone whose name we couldn't spell.
Hats off, Ed.
Well done. And it is becoming more interesting to see who are the big leaders that keep falling on the board and who are the people that may not be taken until late in the round, because right now is the time to steal one of those top executives and get them on your team. It looks like Bastango is set with Marchionne as at the top, and it'll be an interesting dynamic to see how well Marchionne and Jim Hall work together as they're developing vehicles.
Well, and we've got a second-generation auto industry royalty in Mark Royce, and we've got one of the newcomers who's set the industry on fire in the last few years in Marchionne. So we've got a real interesting mix of the old and the new so far. And now we're going to hear more from one of our sponsors, and we'll be back after that. Thank you.
Not only does the Chevrolet Cruze offer a ton of features, it features some of the best safety and maintenance in the business. The Cruze comes with rear park assist, which beeps if you're about to back into something. It has rollover mitigation, which means the car senses if it might roll over, and applies the brakes to the outside front tire to bring the car back under control. And it has OnStar vehicle diagnostics, which sends you emails about the latest status of your car. And you can learn a lot more about it at Chevrolet.com/Cruze.
Let's keep it going with the choices for round number four. Back to Bastango and Jim Hall.
I think I need a designer. And so I'm going to get it.
Here we go. The designer is going to pick a designer.
Picked a designer that I know firsthand is wonderful at challenging everybody around him, that has done stuff that some people love and some people hate, and whose absence from his current company is really appreciably noticed. Christopher Edward Bangle. Chris is definitely the guy I'd want. I want somebody that's always going to be pushing stuff. Plus, this is a guy that used my own words from when I was going to Arts Center against me and was right.
And I was at an art show. What were those words?
The problem is when you become the dogmatist.
Which means?
We were talking about design and what should lead it, and he just nailed me on something. It was the Tokyo show. We're walking around the show, and it was like, damn, you remembered that. You know, this was when it was my first term at Art Center. It was pretty scary. But Chris, the thing is, Chris has done stuff that I really don't like, but I understand why it was done, and there was a reason for it. I don't have to like everything that gets designed anyway. Now, if it were for my favorite car and he screwed up, he'd go back and do it again. But the truth is, I would pretty much let Chris do what he thinks he needs to do for a brand because he's really good at it. Think about it. When he was there, you had the sort of relaunch of Mini with a car that worked as a Mini, the first foreign ownership of Rolls-Royce with a car that was the distillation of everything Rolls-Royce was historically, and he got BMW off of one sausage three sizes.
Interesting choice. DeWard does appreciate good designers, but we appreciate designers who can do other things as well. So for our next pick, we're going to take Henrik Fisker. He can design automobiles, he can design car companies, and he can design ways to suck cash from the U.S. government. All of which are skills highly valued at DeWard Auto Group.
That's right. He got a bunch of money out of the government.
He did indeed.
Are you going to put Al Gore on your board like Fisker did?
Who?
Well, there's the answer there.
Well, you know, in my travels between Italy and Wisconsin and L.A. and New Orleans and Austin, Texas, there is a man I need a phone call away when I need to get refocused, my special double secret advisor, who I would trust implicitly if he said, Peter, you need to go back to Elkhart Lake and go back to work. And that would be Alan Mulally, because when he's in Seattle pretty soon and at his manse out there, I know I could go see the master and he could talk me down and get me straight and refocused on the golf course.
What would he do? What's his job? What's his position?
He's a special advisor to the chairman, to me.
Yeah, to the boss.
Yes.
You know, commendatory.
Yes.
Well, we knew Alan was going to get picked, and he was probably on all of our lists. So let's see. I've got a designer. I've got a product development guy. I've got a powertrain person. So the next step for me is I need somebody who can make my car. I need a manufacturing person. And I'm going to go with somebody who's young because I need them to be with the company for a while here. I need somebody who knows how to deal with the union but also knows how to deal with the global market. So I'm going with Joe Hinrichs from Ford, who's now running their Asian operations. Now, Joe might think that stepping down as executive vice president or senior vice president, whatever it is, at Ford, coming to run manufacturing for me is something of a demotion. But he will be rewarded handsomely for making the move.
We've learned a couple of things. First, Peter is going to do all of his management by telephone. Apparently, everyone must call him in the middle of the night to make executive decisions. John wants to demote people but pay them more money. And Ed is really looking for ways to get money out of the government. But the picks are some of the... First of all, they're all people that we know.
We could spell them all this time, which is a real plus. And I'm happy to see Chris Bangle back in. I mean, the auto industry is poorer for not having Chris Bangle in it. And while I've got some questions about, you know, Vintercorn being able to, you know, manage a million different brands, Chris Bangle has proven he can design three brands from the ground up that are completely different and completely true to what the essence of the brand is. And in his spare time, do coffee makers and stuff.
I mean, absolutely. And Fisker is another one that... It's compelling design, and he's somebody that's willing to take risk as well, and that's really something that you need in your company.
Well, and as Ed pointed out, willing to take risks with other people's money, which is really a trait to be admired.
Absolutely. And Alan Mulally, I was surprised to see him fall all the way to the fourth round. But now he's available by phone and in a different time zone to Peter, which I think is very important.
Absolutely. Back to the draft room.
Okay, folks, let's move on to round number five.
Okay, let's see now. I've got a guy to design my car, Jujaro. I've got a product development guy in Cusack. I've got a powertrain guy in Peter Hofbauer. And I've got a manufacturing guy in Joe Hinrichs. Now I'm going to do something different. I need to sell, market, and advertise my cars. And I'd love to go with Jim Farley. I'd love to go with Joel Iwanek. But I want to do something totally different because the tagline of Dymaxion Motors is when you're ready for the future. And so I'm not even going to have my own marketing and advertising. I'm going to outsource it completely. And when I looked at what's out there, I thought maybe Whedon and Kennedy because, you know, they did the imported from Detroit ad with Eminem that just got four golds and one bronze at the Cannes Film Festival. But the hottest brand in the market right now from a growth standpoint is Kia. And I love them Kia hamsters. So I'm going to put David Angelo from David and Goliath in charge of my marketing and advertising because I need to make a splash. This is a brand new brand. It's a brand new car. I got to hit the market as hard as it can go, and I'm giving it to him. Peter?
Well, you know, you bring up marketing and advertising, two disciplines close to my heart when I'm focused enough to even pay attention. But
and not in another time zone.
Yes. But I know someone who is very much an enthusiast at heart and has a beautiful car collection and a great guy and one of the smartest guys I've ever had the pleasure to interact with. So my chief of marketing is going to be Jim Farley, and I know that when he's bored in Elkhart Lake, he can go over the track and run his Cobra, so I think he'll be happy. He'll be making about one hundredth of what he was making at Ford, but, you know, I think the benefits are hard to beat.
So. Plus, he'd get a Renzo as a company car.
Absolutely. A Bandini.
Edward?
Well, I'm going to go with marketing this round as well, too. But I'm willing to step outside the box the way you did, John. I'm going to go with someone who has worked for a car company before, Tracy Matura. And for the guys in the war room, that's Tracy, T-R-A-C-E-Y, M-A-T-U-R-A, who has just been named the new head of the smart brand for Mercedes-Benz USA. What I really like about her is her experience at Mercedes, which includes a stint as being a general counsel. She's also a lawyer, and in marketing, that can't hurt.
Interesting choice.
Yeah, I have to do marketing, too. And you weren't far enough out of the box, neither were you. I want Ron Johnson from JCPenney.
Oh, now that's not an automotive executive.
It's an executive.
Yeah?
Formerly from Apple. He's the guy that started the retail Apple store philosophy and understands how to interface and deal with people. That's what the business is all about. And I want somebody that doesn't come at the attitude that one of the problems with the auto industry is they confuse sales and marketing. General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler have never sold a car to an individual. They sell it to a dealer. And marketing is making a customer go to the dealer and say, I want to give you these portraits of dead presidents because I cannot resist buying the car. I want somebody that understands that part of the equation more. Get the customer and hook him. That's why Ron Johnson for me. And by the way, for the guys in the war room, that's R-O-N-J-O-H-N-S-O-N, Ron Johnson. But seriously, that I want something that's very non-traditional. And it'll either pay off or we will go down in spectacularly glorious flames.
I love it.
All right, we've got a run on marketing in the middle rounds of the draft. And it's interesting, we've got one company, Renzo Motors, that decided to pick someone who has definitely shown that he can sell cars. And we've got three others that thought this would be a good place to take a chance. That may say a lot about what people think of marketing. What's your take on this?
Well, absolutely. It's interesting. Matura is one who is coming over and from Mercedes are going to be taking over Smart Car, and she's likely to double sales by getting them close to 1,000.
And one thing though, I mean, you know, they were making the point that they're going to have to ask people to take pay cuts in order to, you know, sell, to work for some of these startups. I mean, she would be leaving a company that is a brand that is virtually doomed. So it probably won't be that hard to convince her to join your startup.
It may not be that much of a pay cut either. You know, one of the things that it does suggest is that all of these guys think that nobody is marketing the car industry very well, or it could be done better, and that this may be a place where some fresh ideas could go in. You know, I was surprised to not see Joel Uwanek taken, because I think Joel has done some really interesting things at Hyundai. That whole assurance program, he played a very important role in, and that's now one of the pillars of the company.
Well, and now that he's gone to GM, he's managed to actually define a couple of brands that had been very amorphous in the public eye. And I have to say, Ron Johnson is interesting. He went from Apple to a company that sells appliances, and he's going now to, you know, an industry that thrives on convincing people that its products are not appliances. So yeah, maybe there's a sort of a fit in the skill set. But I think now it's time for us to listen to one of our sponsors again.
The one last thing I'll add before we go to commercial is I really think that the perspective here is that all of the marketing people are kind of like the drummer on Spinal Tap. And a lot of them are just going to be replaced. And you go to the next scene, and there's a different marketing person. And so it'll be interesting to see if there's going to be a replacement further down in the draft, or if this is what they're sticking with. So let's go to commercial.
Bridgestone is featuring its third generation of run-flat tires with groundbreaking new technology. Current run-flat tires can offer peace of mind for consumers, but the added mass and the stiffer sidewalls can compromise ride comfort and fuel efficiency. The new third generation Bridgestone run-flat tires reduce heat and improve performance and ride comfort. Whether you're a program manager in the industry or just looking for a set for your personal car, check it out at BridgestoneTire.com.
We've made it all the way to round six. Now let's see who makes the cut.
To make sure, you know, because getting employees is apparently a problem because everybody's going to have to take a haircut to work for us. I want a guy in a position that can make sure we've got as much money as is possible for what we're doing so we can give it to people to get the right people. And for that, there's only one choice. Lou Booth, Ford. Because, one, yeah, he understands how the CFO works to make sure everything gets going and goes where it needs to be. He also is good at sort of putting his discipline down through the organization so you don't spend too much for things like purchasing and procurement and so on. Seriously, he would be absolutely my choice for CFO, and procurement would be a function vertically underneath the CFO here with no interference from other sides. He's the guy I'd want to have doing this.
No, he's great. I agree with you. You know, he's like behind Mulally. He's like the replacement in case anything happens with Mulally, short term at Ford, mm-hmm, I think.
But he's just one of those guys. He knows it. He really appreciates cars. I mean, anybody that drives around in a customized Transit Connect is okay.
With racing stripes.
With racing stripes, yeah. It is arguable. It probably is the fastest Transit Connect around.
And he also loves racing, so.
Yeah, you know, which makes him good in our book.
And the CFO is an important job because that way I know that we'll have enough money to run to make at least the 2013 Bustangos. Okay, this is our brochure, by the way, for the small and sports car lines. It's just a draft of it, but
a draft in the draft.
In the draft,
show.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Now we have to hear from DeWard Motors.
From DeWard Motors is going to look to the other side of the globe for our next pick. We need an engineering director, and we're going to promote again. We're going to take someone that we think has potential and can eventually run the engineering on it for our company. We're going to take Akihiko Atsuka, who is the chief engineer for the 2010 Prius. The Prius remains the sort of blue chip example of gasoline hybrid technology. It's the third generation, and it's every bit as good as it should be.
No, I agree. That's a great choice. I mean, no other hybrid in the world sells well, with the exception of the Prius. It's knocked it out of the park.
It has indeed. And for the boys in the war room, that's Akihiko Otsuka.
And now to Renzo Motors.
Well, you know, a car company can't live by margaritas and martinis alone.
Well, yes, it can.
It could.
Martinis, at least, you know. Yeah.
So
gin martinis.
You know, I'm a big fan of Lewis Booth, but I do realize, and I'm sure my double secret advisor, Al Mulally, would remind me that you do occasionally have to pay attention to the financials. So my CFO will be Mr. Chris Liddell, who was recently at General Motors until he had a little disagreement with the current chairman. So, but I think Chris would be good for Renzo Motors.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, I got somebody to design my cars. I got somebody to develop the product. I got somebody to make the powertrain. I got somebody to build the thing. I got somebody to sell and market it.
I need a CEO for my company, Dymaxion Motors. And Alan Mulally's been taken. John Krafcik's been taken. Sergio Marchionne's been taken. I'm really tempted to go with Carlos Ghosn. But, you know, he's making $11 million a year, and I'm not sure I can afford to pay that. And besides, Dymaxion is a startup, and I need somebody that's got a real entrepreneurial spirit, somebody who's been on both the OE side and the supplier side, somebody who's been in the U.S. and out of the market. I need somebody who's got a lot of energy and a different way of thinking of things, and I'm going with Kathy Ligocki. She is, I think, one of the most dynamic people in the industry right now. She's working on this hush-hush startup project right now. They're going to do this very high fuel economy, very low-cost car. Those are exactly the skills that Dymaxion Motors needs. And I'm going with Kathy to run Dymaxion Motors.
Good pick.
Boy, that's pretty darn good.
Yep.
Wow. You know, I think that one of the things that John wasn't aware of was Kathy is actually, that startup project is Renzo Motors. And so there may be some conflict there. But the sixth round really looked like it was about money. Trying to pay for things and run the business.
Which is not a bad skill set to have within your company, I think. It's nice to see that this, and particularly to see Lewis Booth getting some credit, I think.
He's one of the unsung heroes at Ford Motor Company with everything that they'd gone through back when they were putting the Blue Oval up for sale.
Absolutely. And I mean, as you said, none of it matters if you don't make money. So, I mean, Lewis, he is underappreciated. It's easy and it's a cheap punchline to talk about bean counters, but we've got some people here who understand finance and who can really make a difference. And Kathy Ligocki, it's nice to hear that name again, and I can't wait to see what happens from the project that she is working from if she chooses not to take Dymaxion's, you know, very, very generous, I'm sure, offer.
It's an interesting move, and so there's still a number of auto executives that are out there that could be taken in the next two rounds. I'm not sure exactly what direction anyone's going to go now. Any ideas?
Well, we've seen, you know, all of the glaring, you know, needs have been taken care of, I think. So now they're going to be drafting for positions of need, as they say on ESPN.
And usually in the sixth and seventh, or the seventh and eighth rounds during a fantasy draft, that's the time when you start looking for field goal kickers. You start trying to figure out ways to skirt your bar tab is another thing that you would do at this late in the rounds.
So this would be a good time to dine and dash, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I may be here for the seventh round. We'll see what happens after that. Okay. Let's go back to Frank.
Here comes round seven. Which of you sidelined executives out there is feeling lucky?
Okay, I've pretty much got my management team in place here right now. But, you know, as the supreme commander of Dymaxion Motors, even though I'm in charge of everything and get to run things as I like, it's always good to have a personal coach, somebody to look over your shoulder and see if you're doing things right. Just like in a nuclear plant, you know, the guy who runs the big control room has somebody over his shoulder, making sure they're not pushing the wrong buttons and keeping everything under control. So my special advisor is somebody who's got extensive automotive experience, both on the OE and supplier side, has worked in this country and outside of this country as well. And I'm going with Tim Lulliet as my special advisor because Tim's got a lot of opinions, and I agree with many of them. And so I think it's always good to have a second set of eyes on what's going on. Tim's going to be my guy as my own personal coach and special advisor.
Well, interesting. You know, the Renzo Motors, the Renzo Bandini, the first car that we're doing is going to be brilliant, a visionary expression of everything I've ever thought about an automobile. It'll be lightweight. It'll be blistering fast. It'll be very expensive. So at some point, you got to sell the thing. So I need a sales guy, someone who's been there, done that, involved with Toyota, now currently at Ford. And when I can get him to focus, which might be difficult because he'll be in Florida or somewhere. But, you know, since we're doing my my car company by phone, I'm going to have Ken Zube run my sales for me at Renzo Motors. He's at Ford, by the way, in case you remember.
I can tell by the comments in the war room that DeWard Auto Group is going to have some issues that we need to deal with, and we need to look outside. Personal advisors are good, and there are all sorts of ways to be counseled. So, frankly, I can see we need help, and for our next pick, I'm picking Jason Vines.
Good pick. That's a good one, right?
Jason has worked a lot of places.
He's worked in a lot of car companies.
He has indeed.
Diversified background.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
And Autoline After Hours regular, too.
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Bastango, Mr. Majordomo.
You have all the cars in place, but how do you make sure that the next car and the car after that is going to be the kind of car you want? What are you going to do to make sure you have somebody that's going to stimulate your organization to do the next car better than the previous car? And for me, this is why I want to have basically a product innovation officer, a guy that's in charge of this for pushing technology, pushing product. And the best place to get somebody from this is from a company who sells cars that defy the laws of physics. All right? That is the best way, because if you can find a guy at a
workshop. Are you talking about smart?
No, I'm talking about really defying the laws of physics.
Henrik Fisker's already been picked.
Wrong. Matthias Müller.
Who is?
Chief engineer of Porsche.
Oh, great.
And he's also on the Porsche SA board. I'm serious. This is one of the guys, because if you think about it, Porsche is a company that does two things. It's the most schizophrenic car company on earth. They are doing vehicles that are contemporary modern cars, in some ways as contemporary or more modern than the cars they compete against. The Panamera in spec is unlike anything it competes with. And then they do the 911, which has an engine in exactly the wrong place of where you would ever want to put an engine. But it works, and it works better every year. This is the kind of guy I want to push technology in my company. And automotive technology, so the focus is on cars. And for the guys there, it's M-U with an umlaut, L-L-E-R, okay? And two T's, Matthias.
And don't forget the umlaut.
That's right. But, I mean, that's what I want. I want somebody to push. Because doing the car, like Dymaxion, you've got everything in place for the first car. The second car is the hardest car to do.
That's true. That's absolutely right. Good choice.
All right, thank you. And we've got a couple of different trends shaping up in this round, I think. First of all, on this side of the board, we have the Scrabble player's delight. some combinations of letters that you get a lot of points for. And Dymax, Bistango, we've got a vote of confidence for German engineering again. What do you see here, Scott?
Well, there's some. I'm not sure. I guess Jason Vines does qualify certainly as much as Johnson does. And I think that it's a very interesting
and,
choice.
And at least Jason has worked in the auto industry before.
Yes.
For virtually everybody.
I think that Jim brings up a very interesting point, where it's not selling the first car, it's selling that second car. You know, what is Renzo doing after the one-armed bandito hits the market and maybe is not quite as successful as it was hoping? Though I'm sure it will be very successful.
Well, and you know, Renzo has got backup strength in the sales department now as well, and they have pretty much crippled Ford's sales and marketing, which may be one of Renzo's unstated goals.
No, that's absolutely. It is interesting that Renzo is picking a number of Ford people. One of the things that I wouldn't do is I would never pick anybody and put them on my executive team if I couldn't pronounce their name. And I think that could lead to a lot of problems when staff is coming in or you're trying to send memos out. It's almost impossible to get an email to somebody if you can't get the name correctly. And that can really lead to a lot of miscommunication.
It can be as bad as hitting reply all when you don't need to.
Absolutely, and we've all done that.
Yep. Well, we got to catch the next train out of town, apparently, so we'll throw back to you now, Frank.
All right, let's wrap up the draft with our eighth and final round. Gentlemen?
You know, you can have design in place that you need and manufacturing and financial stuff, but you have to have somebody planning your future. And this is a tough one, but there's a logical reason for why I'm picking who I'm picking. I want somebody who did a product that nobody in the organization wanted to do, and he pushed it in the organization and was brought in to do it and delivered the car. The car became an iconic vehicle. The other thing is, this will be a guy I've always wanted to push around all the time. And it's a guy who most recently worked for Proton Holdings, a guy by the name of Robert Hall, Bob Hall.
Your twin brother.
John, please. Please, excuse me. My evil twin brother.
You're evil. Okay. I forgot that.
And the one who in my telephone is listed as spare parts. It would be good to have him nearby so I can push him around. And also, if I want to borrow a cornea, a lung, you know, it's right there. And I just say it's part of the deal, Bob. You want employment, this is what it costs. He's been out of the country, so he might think that's the way the U.S. works now. But seriously, I would want Bob, because Bob was the guy that started the Miata at Mazda, and it's a product that defined a whole car company. And yeah, there's still probably one good car left in him. If there isn't, I'll just harvest him for skin.
So major domo, minor domo? How do you rate him in your company?
Associate domo.
No, because then there's that whole thing about him trying to jockey for position.
Oh, yeah.
And he can take me out and say, I'm Jim, you know. So he has to be in, you know, the satellite planning office probably in Tahiti or Fiji.
Okay.
I like it. You get Jim, you get Bob.
You get Jim, you get Bob, yeah.
I like it.
I wouldn't do that now, though, from a business standpoint.
Ward Motors.
Well, we've done marketing. We've got a market look at marketing, and we've done some of the areas that we need, and we'll certainly be looking for free agents when this is over. Hint, hint. But I think what we really need is we understand the retail reality in this market. You can start Apple stores if you're in telecommunications. It's tough to do if you're an automobile company, and we want to use traditional. So we're going to take a guy who was a star and then ran into some tough times and is now doing some consulting ostensibly outside the country. We're going to take Jim Press. We think Jim can build the dealer network for us. He can find the right dealers. He can manage those relations, and he can move a lot of metal for us.
Interesting choice. Good choice, too. Yeah, he's got massive experience in this business. And now to Renzo Motors.
Well, you know, as commendatory of Renzo Motors, I think I will probably be caught in a lot of embarrassing situations around the globe.
That's
so
a safe bet.
Seeing as public relations is near and dear to the family tradition, you know, I need a PR guy who, you know, talk me off the ceiling, you know, spin me when I need to be spun. But he has to be based in Paris because I have to have a reason to go to Paris once a month.
PR is always a good reason.
Yeah. So since this is a car company by phone, I will choose our pal Simon Sproul to relocate again from Tokyo.
You're going to move him out of Tokyo and send him back
to Paris.
Because right.
I need him there. Because when I come in, I have to be greeted like royalty and taken to five-star restaurants. It's just appropriate.
And Simon would know how to do that.
Yeah, Simon would know how to do that.
He's elegant.
One of the best in the business.
Yeah.
No question. Okay, I should have come to this name beforehand, before even picking my CEO, because you need to sell the product. Yeah, I already picked my marketing and advertising. I outsourced that to David and Goliath. But, you know, when I look at who's just hot, hot, hot in sales up and down the lineup globally, but even here in the U.S. market especially, I'm going to go with somebody from Hyundai, and Dave Zukowski is the guy that I'm going to go with. We got to move the metal at Dymaxion Motors, and I'm picking the guy who, in this business who I think is moving it the fastest right now. That's where I'm going.
Okay, let's go back to the war room one last time for our analysts' view of the final round. At the same time, we'll get their report cards on who had the strongest draft and who maybe not looking so strong. Guys?
Okay, the draft is complete, and we have a number of people whose names we can't pronounce. And I find it very interesting that John, who this is his home studio, made both the first pick and the very last pick. And I think that may take a little looking into.
So you're suggesting it's not an accident the Cleveland Cavaliers got the first draft pick in the NBA?
Exactly.
I'm shocked.
Well, Mark, what do you think of these final picks?
Well, I think they're very good. And I'm concerned on one level, though. I mean, Bob Hall, there's no question that he is an immensely talented designer. But as we also know, he is Jim Hall's evil twin. And are we certain that it's actually Jim who is making the choices here and not Bob? I mean, for all we know, Jim could be clawing for air in the trunk of a Pontiac Bonneville.
That's an excellent point. And if that is Bob there, then Jim is going to be selected as Bob, so then Jim would be then the evil running person of Bistango. It's quite a dilemma.
Thank you, Mr. Goldfinger.
I thought it was very interesting that Ed went with Jim Press, who I actually agree with everything that he said there. He is a person that, when I have seen him in front of dealers, can get them so fired up that they run out and put $5,000 on the hood of a Chrysler and sell it.
They adore him. There's no question. And I think that, you know, he'd certainly be eager to get back into the industry and you know, show people once again why he was considered one of the smartest folks in the business before he agreed to work for Cerberus.
Right. Cerberus was not quite the boss anybody was hoping for. Simon Sprout, he speaks his mind. And I don't know if Peter needs someone to speak his mind when he calls him, when Peter's up in Wisconsin or L.A. or Italy.
Yeah. One interesting thing, though, we have Renzo and DeWard Motors both selecting public relations executives as, you know, some of their key people, and the other two companies didn't pick any public relations executives. Speaking as a journalist, I think this means they're doomed, because they don't have anybody who's going to return my calls.
Absolutely. And really, one of the most important things at any auto industry or any auto company that you want is someone that will return phone calls. It's absolutely essential, especially when we're on deadline.
Yeah. So what's your take on the draft as a whole? Who do you think stole the night?
If I were to, at the very first glance, I actually think Bistango may have some of the top people in the right positions at the right time. The hall selection worries me, though.
I think you're right. There's a real strength in Bistango. They've got a good starting lineup and a good bench, you might say. I think that Dymaxion has got some real good things going here, in spite of the fact that we had no idea how to spell the gentleman that they're hiring away from Hyundai's name. But it's good to see Giorgio Giugiaro get called out with the credit that he deserves for a phenomenally long and productive career.
Absolutely, and I don't think that Renzo and DeWard are in bad positions as well. The one thing that I do like about DeWard is it there seems to be a good variety of people in there to fill in all of the different roles. I think that Renzo might run into problems with the Marks kind of butting heads together. Ford has been on a great roll. I don't know if Ford could maintain that with Renzo, unless Peter were to really fill in as like a Bill Ford Jr. kind of person and come out and really push the team.
So Peter is the sort of benign overlord as opposed to the guy sipping umbrella drinks by the patio, by the pool bar?
It's hard to say. Peter, it sounds like he does a lot of driving, so I don't think that he can really drink that much. So it's very interesting. All of the teams, I think, are very good. I think that it also shows a lot of insight into the industry. When we were given a list of people, I think only half of them were actually selected. That may have been to make us look foolish.
Well, but really, how much work does that take? And this, I think, does, you know, show just how strong the overall depth of talent in the industry is, and the fact that there are so many, you know, great engineers and some brilliant marketing people, you know, as well. Because as you said, I mean, we've got lists here that are full of good people, and it didn't scratch the surface of the list of the overall list that we had as candidates.
And it also, you know, you have to have that when all of these people go into the kettle and they're trying to sell cars and make good cars, and it's a really difficult thing. The automobile is the second most important or second most expensive purchase that most people make in a lifetime, except for planes and yachts. Mm-hmm.
And now we should probably go to the second most important group of people on the program tonight, back to the team in Autoline Draft Headquarters.
You know, this was a lot of fun for me. This was totally different from anything we've done on this show. All the credit goes to Chip Drake, the producer of the show. He came up with the whole idea, bringing in Frank Marcus and Scott and Mark Phelan in the war room and you guys here. I've really enjoyed this because it really got me thinking about who would I go after? And I know we've left a lot of executives on the table, and we should do this again next year because I want to start planning this out, you know, way in advance.
There are a lot of good people, seriously, for jobs that, you know, I looked at these and I said, well, who do I want? And I had to list the first and second, and I realized they weren't first or second. They were, in some cases, they had three guys that could have used them all. And it was almost defensive if you picked one of them, like, okay, then I'll get one of the other guys.
Well, you know, I planned it out. You know, I had multiple picks for each one of my positions.
You couldn't go into this thing with only one pick, I don't think.
Right, because it might be taken.
Right.
And then what do you do?
Yeah. And
some were. Yes.
Yeah, no, it is a lot of work. And Ed, you came up with a couple of names that of people I've never even heard of before, too. And I like that. Now I'm going to go check out who these people are because, I mean, look, there's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands, and I know a lot of who they are, but I don't know everybody here.
I mean, this is an industry that is filled with astonishingly intelligent, creative people. And many of those have been able to rise in spite of the fact they're in large corporate structures. And that alone is one of the most amazing things about
it. And just converse to that, there's a lot of really good people out there that don't get any recognition
exactly.
at all
yeah.
who absolutely could step into these positions.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, you know, my team, my second team, if I did all different picks, would still be a great team. But I dare say my car company would be the most fun.
Yeah, except that my company would sell more than your company.
I don't have to sell as many.
Because well, because you're just driving around wherever
well,
you want to go.
He said there'd be very expensive cars.
They'd be very expensive
you know.
Cars.
And mine would be headquartered in Santa Barbara, so I wouldn't care.
No, I'd stay here in Detroit because then you can't go away and play very easily. You stay here and you work.
Well, no, I have to say, you know, the headquarters is in Elkhart Lake for Renzo Motors, but our southern office would be in Austin, Texas. So when it gets like the shining in Elkhart Lake
yeah.
in the winter.
Yeah, good idea.
We'll all be in Austin, Texas.
Good roads.
In case you need to find us, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe a Formula One race.
Maybe.
Right.
No,
but
I think that there's
the city council voted yesterday
yeah.
to...
Oh, they did? They yeah. decided
to approve it?
They did indeed,
yeah.
yes.
Oh, so...
I think they should move that race back to November, which is on the discussion right now.
Is it really?
In Formula One, and I think that would be smart because I got to tell you... In June in Austin, it's going to be 106 degrees.
Yeah. It's not only that, some of the late races fall into, I mean, the ones in Asia are falling into the dang rainy season.
Right.
Yes.
So they're a mess.
So, but if you're going to move Austin, then you got to move Canada, too, because to make it easy for the
team.
No,
you know, they've just, yeah, they thought about that, but it's so strong, the urge to move Austin, they might just forget it and just say, we're going to move it.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you're saying. They have to be in the States, you know.
Yeah, they try to do it. They would try to do them in a week gap anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, 1 week, not WEAK.
But that's not a good – they need to move Austin till November. But besides, that gives them another 6 months to finish the damn track.
Which, oh, you mean you may move this coming season?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you meant for 2015.
Okay, enough F1. I got some questions for you guys.
Okay, yeah, okay. Let's hear from the war room.
Were all of you guys looking for kind of a surprise pick – in that first round?
In the first round, no, I wasn't.
No, in fact, I was holding back because I wanted to see where these guys were going. So, but I wanted to get Giugiaro right off the bat because he's the master.
El maestro.
El maestro. And like I said, car designer of the 20th century as chosen by his peers yep. and other people in the media. But no, to answer your question, Scotty, you know, I was very curious to see where these guys were going. I had multiple entries for each one of the positions I wanted to fill.
And, Scott, I didn't do design because the two guys before me did design. I just wanted to do something different. So there's a lot of that. In a real pick, you'd probably be going for the guys you thought were absolutely the ones that were going to get harvested the soonest.
Did any of you guys lose a person that you really wanted to get?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh.
Well, Mullally's one of them, you know. Mullally would be on my list.
For me, hold on, it was...
But not enough to take him in the first three rounds, apparently.
Yeah. Right. Well, like I said, I had another strategy in place.
Oh, Royce was one that I had for another position, and he got poached real fast, so...
Yeah, I had some, but I'm not going to say because I want my draftees to know that they're number one in my heart.
Well, actually, only Kraftcheck is number one in your house.
That's right. He was the first one you picked, so you know, it's always the first pick is
right.
Well, I'm curious about something. Obviously, we've got a very strong representation by the German and American auto industries here. We only had one Japanese executive taken. Do you think that that's because the industry, you know, there has you know, lost some of its leadership, or is it simply you know, the fact that they are less likely to promote the achievements of a single person, so we don't have as many people that we can focus on for the name?
Mark,
the latter, Mark. It's absolutely the latter. We don't know when you go down the ranks in Japanese companies. They're just not exposed to us in the media.
If we had more picks, and I got to say, if somebody had picked Mueller for the chief innovation officer, I was going to go with Yamashita at Nissan. And the thing is, I had for my purchasing choices were all from, whether from Toyota and from Nissan, because those guys know how to buy stuff. They really do. But we didn't get down that far. So
I had Lewis Booth as my financial
guy. Did you?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a homer.
Yeah. So I think part of it is, you know, we just don't know as many of the Japanese executives because, to your point, Mark, you know, they're just not presented to us in the media. We just don't know them as well. And even if you go to their websites, because I did start searching this stuff, they have names of people. They don't necessarily describe what they do.
I was just told that my brother says he categorizes himself as Japanese. Now, of course, that's actually Jim, who's in the trunk of the Pontiac. Okay.
You know, OnStar can find that car untold, so we're going to get right on that.
You should be aware. It's a 1959 Bonneville.
Okay, in that case, he's doomed.
I should have picked Bob because I used to be colleagues.
Evil Bob, yeah, yes, that's right. Ed worked with Bob.
You're kidding? Where?
Automotive News. Okay, he did Los Angeles for us.
I did not know that.
Bob was a journalist before he did the car gig.
No, I knew that, yeah. But I didn't know that he had ever been at Automotive News. I thought he was at Motor Trend.
Motor Trend, Automotive News, Auto Week also, right?
Yeah.
He did a stint at Auto Week.
He did.
And then to Mazda, and then Wheels in Australia, which is the first place Bastango ever appeared in print.
Actually, I think he immediately preceded your cousin for us in Los Angeles.
Really? And then,
So I got a question for the war room. How do you guys like how this whole thing went?
Oh, this was fun. Are you kidding? I'd do this again next week if you wanted to.
Well, not next week, because I'm going to be on vacation. But we're definitely going to do this again, probably sometime next year.
Yeah,
so we'll have
fun.
To plan it
I'd
all
like
out.
I'd thank all the crew who worked so hard at this.
Yeah, because there are folks here that don't normally stay here for Autoline after hours.
And there were
Frank,
small children
with his
who
zippy
were
little.
Tonight,
I mean, I got to tell you, Marcus's vest and bow tie.
Frank Marcus.
He is styling.
He's styling.
Dressed
exactly.
To the 8.6s, maybe.
He's found a new calling as a.
In his tuxedo with the Mickey Mouse vest. Like that. That's
special. Hey, Sean, what temp agency did you go to get the kids to work here to lay the cable down and stuff like that?
It's called Blue Sky Productions.
Those are interns.
Slice of Malaysia right here in Livonia.
The intern program starts really early.
Right. So anyway, I want to thank everybody, you know, everybody who tuned in tonight. Peter DeLorenzo, Jim Hall, Edward Lapham, Frank Marcus, Mark Phelan, Scott Burgess. Thank you, guys. And for the whole Autoline crew who's here tonight. And to wrap it all up, I'm throwing it back to Frank.
Well, that's it. Thanks for joining us for the first annual Autoline After Hours Automotive Draft. We hope you had as much fun as we did, and we'll see you next year.
Autoline After Hours is brought to you by Bridgestone, passion for excellence. Chevrolet, the all-new Chevrolet Cruze. Get used to more. And by Hyundai. Experience the 2011 Hyundai Sonata today at HyundaiSonata.com.